going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, the Eagles got it started last night with Jahad Campbell. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, as the Eagles select Jahad Campbell in the first round, number 31. Linebacker, edge rusher, Swiss Army knife, whatever you want to call him. He is a Philadelphia Eagle, and he looks like he could be an excellent player. We're going to hear from Howie and Nick. If you missed it last night, we'll play that for you. They spoke very late last night about the pick. I think it's important to listen to Howie, the way he talks about Campbell's process of coming back from the shoulder surgery that he had and when he'll be ready, because I thought Howie's answer was interesting there, what they said about him coming up in just a couple minutes. First, can we hear from Nick Saban? Nick Saban recruited Jahad Campbell to Alabama. Obviously didn't coach him last year because he retired, but he's part of the reason why this kid is where he is right now. Let's hear Saban on Jahad Campbell.
There he is. The guy you brought to Tuscaloosa, now another first-round draft pick.
Yeah, well, this guy is a great person. I mean, you know, what people have to understand about Jahad, he played with his hand in the dirt in high school, went to, you know, IMG, came out, was an outside backer, moved to inside backer, and got better and better and better, and I thought had a fantastic year this year. He has tremendous range, speed. He can play in or out. He never played behind the line before we moved him 2 years ago because of injuries. But he's developed into a first-round inside guy. He could be an edge rusher. This guy, I just love this pick. I really do. I mean, this guy lit it up at the combine. Yeah. I know some people. The only reason they're getting him here is because people had some injury questions because of shoulder surgery, might not be ready for camp. But if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, what do you care?
Right.
You know, you're going to pick a guy that's going to be there maybe for the next 10 years for you and be a really, really good player. And when he does get healthy, he's going to have pass rush for him.
You can tell he loves
him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. You know, and Elliot was adamant about this last night.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Ike were kind of going back and forth because Ike's looking at it more from the coverage standpoint, which he should, because this is – you don't know how tough it is or how easy it makes for Vic to design a defense where you don't have to pull anybody off the field.
Right.
Now – I played with one of the greatest linebackers in Eagle history, Jeremiah Trotter, but there was a lot of times that we had to adjust, and Trot came off the field in certain pass situations because, you know, he could cover, but that wasn't really his strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we would have to, you know, mix and match linebackers. Now, to have people out there, this is what makes this so intriguing to me, because now you have the personnel out there that can do whatever you need them to do in a pinch. Because a lot of times, a strategy for most offenses is to catch you in a certain defense.
Right.
And to keep you in that defense so they can take advantage of the matchups.
The personnel you have out
that
there.
You have out there.
They go no huddle. They keep on the field.
Yeah, and now what you do, you have a guy that, in a pinch, say if you get caught in the wrong defense, he slides to the outside backer spot because he knows it. Or he slides to the inside backer. Or hell, he becomes the third end or the end. He walks up on the line of scrimmage and becomes the defensive end. You can rush the passer, or you can do it like this. You know, a lot of times teams like, to whatever the strength of the defense is, the linebackers flip-flop. You have a strong backer and a weak linebacker.
And those strong whackers.
You know, the funny is that when I catch me doing it, it's like, wow, I need to try to sprint through that. But anyway, you don't have to flip-flop your linebackers. You could just line them up and go. Like one linebacker can walk up on the line and play the run or rush the passer, and then you had the other guy drop it back in coverage. It allows you to do more without changing your personnel.
So I think what you're saying, I think of it from two ways. One, it helps Vic, right, in the game.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio do all these different things. It also helps Howie as a team builder. Like, if he has versatility, you could build the team in different ways. I mean, look, hopefully he plays here for 10 years. It wouldn't shock me if there are some years where he plays more edge and some years where he plays maybe more inside based on the personnel. And then, look, during the season, every team has injuries, right? Let's hope the Eagles are not injured and they all stay healthy. But it wouldn't surprise me if they start him off more on the inside and then, I don't know, they get banged up on the outside and they say, you know what, we need you out here for a few weeks, and he can do it. That's how Parsons really got started as an edge rusher, because they drafted him as a linebacker. And then they were like, all right, well, we need help out there. And then he was so good at it, they were like, all right, just keep getting the quarterback.
Yeah, and I look at it like this, man. You got a guy that, like, I don't know if this year he could be the green dot guy. But, you know, with N'Kobe's injuries or whatever, I mean, to have somebody out there that can do it all, man, that's phenomenal. And helps your second. He's a good player. Like, you can free up Cooper DeJean to do some different things if he can cover like that. Like, you have versatility in your defense where you won't get caught in anything that you can't handle.
Well, and he also has long arms and zone coverage. Like, the window's closed. I mean, everything about him looks like it could be an outstanding player. Now he's got to hope he stays healthy and reaches his ceiling here with Vic. Let's talk to Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Huge old Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, buddy? What are you feeling?
I love the pick yesterday. I feel like Howie's going, he's going younger, and I feel like that's the reason we let Sweat go, we let Milton Williams go, because he's going with these younger guys with more of a motor. We saw towards the end of the year, Nolan Smith got his motor came on, the Hunt motors came on, and this guy that we got, he's versatile, and I feel like he filled that void that we had on defense. He gives us more depth in our defensive players right now. And this guy, it doesn't matter if he's hurt right now. I feel like he's going to make an impact when he does get healthy. You can see when he got drafted that the kid looked like he was hungry. He was excited to be here. And that's a good sign. And I like the fact that we jumped up one spot over the team that we beat in the Super Bowl. That made it much sweeter. To me, for the Chiefs, For the reason that you guys lost in the Super Bowl and you let us get a defensive player, I know they still got the guy that they wanted, they got the offensive lineman that they wanted, that they needed. But to let us hop over a spot, over one spot over you to get the player that we wanted, that we needed, to me, I don't know. Maybe it's Andy looking out for the Eagles. I don't know what that is, but to me, that makes sense to me to let that happen. But Harry Roseman, I feel like he's going to make he's gonna make more of an impact tonight. We still got some more picks on the board, but I feel like this guy is gonna make an impact.
Well, I think he can make an instant. It's all about health, right? That's what we're gonna find out how quickly he gets on the field this summer and he picks everything up. Terrence, we preached the phone call, but yeah, I don't see any reason why if he's healthy, he's not gonna impact the 2025 Eagles. He should. It's a matter of how quickly he gets up to speed. All right, let's listen to Howie and Nick last night. This was their post first round press conference. The conversation is obviously about Jahad Campbell, the pick, the player, what they envision. You could hear how excited Howie is. And also, I thought his answer about the injury situation, how healthy he is, I thought he kind of dodged it. Here's Howie and Nick last night right after the selection of Jahad Campbell.
We picked Jahad Campbell. We made a small trade up just to ensure that we could get him. There are a lot of trades in the 20s, and so we just want to make sure that someone didn't jump ahead of us. Excited to have him. Really excited to have him. Wasn't really something we anticipated. Understand some of the other teams may have reasons for taking other players, but for us, this is a really easy pick. Really explosive player. He can play inside. He can be an edge rusher. Just really feel fortunate to bring him home back to Philly.
Howie, there were reports that you were trying to trade up a little bit earlier. Was that for Jihad?
It was. Again, this was a top 10 player on our board. We do not have any long-term concerns with his health. We have, we look at the draft as a long-term opportunity for our team. We have a lot of confidence this guy's going to be here and play at a really high level for a long time. And so when you're in a draft and you're picking at the end of the first round, you have an opportunity to get a top 10 player at your board on your board, a guy who can affect the quarterback, a guy who can affect the passing game. You know, for us, it was a no-brainer. Local kid, great character. So we were really excited to add him.
Nick, I heard how we say that he has that the pass rush ability as well. How do you view him and how he can be used in the defense?
Yeah, I think we think he's a versatile player who can do a lot of different things. Obviously, the main thing that you see is the energy that he plays with, the speed that he plays with, and that when you're playing and relentless effort that he plays with, and that fits on defense.
Is he far enough in his rehab that he could be ready, do you think, for training camp or opening day?
Yeah, we'll get all into that when we bring him in here. You know, obviously our guys had an opportunity to see him at the combine and the rechecks, and we're very excited about what he's going to bring to the team. From our perspective, all that stuff will be sorted out. But again, we're looking at this wasn't a need pick. This was for us a player we had tremendous passion about, and somebody when we started the process and continued through the process was very high on our boards. And, we got to look at the draft that way. Obviously, there are other players we liked at the spot we were picking, but this stood out to us, and very excited to get him, and we didn't want to lose him.
Howie, how would you describe what you're like when you see a player falling and you're trying to trade for him? How would you describe your mannerisms, your mood?
I don't know.
Maybe ask you better, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Your answer.
I mean, persistent, determined, would that be fair?
Yeah.
Did you think that he was, like, falling, or that this is where you felt?
You know, I think we do. We get enough information before the draft that we started to feel like it was a possibility in the last few days. And so we had gone through scenarios where he was going to fall. We knew that there was probably a sweet spot that we could try to get up at, and we had done a lot of planning about that. So we understood kind of some of the questions that were going on him. We spent a lot of time with our doctors and our medical staff, ensuring that we were all seeing it the same way. And again, we have a lot of confidence in our edge rushers on this team, on our inside linebackers on this team. But for us, this we thought was one of the best players in the draft.
Well, the next question is he going to start off with Washburn or with Bobby Green?
Yeah, I think we'll go through that here. But this is a guy who was recruited from IMG at Alabama as an edge rusher, hand and dirt edge rusher. They had some injuries at Alabama. They played him off the ball. You see his explosiveness and his speed. And really, you know, it's kind of interesting, and we talked about this a lot. You know, you see it. You see Penn State give them a lot of credit for what they've done. They've had guys off the ball move to edge rushers. Obviously, their last two guys who've been drafted really high, they started off the ball and they moved to edge rushers. Vic does a tremendous job with getting guys who have pass rush ability to be versatile players like that. And I think what's really fun is that those guys who have that versatility, who can go out on the edge and get pressure as a rusher. And he's got speed. He's got power as an edge rusher. He was trained as an edge rusher. And then he's got the versatility to play off the ball and blitz from depth and play in space, in pass coverage, as an off-ball linebacker. And so the things that you can do and keep all these players on the field. So for us, it's just we always want to improve the front seven, and we view him as a front seven player who's got incredible versatility and a skill set to do both those things. And the appeal is that he's got this rush skill set, and he's 21 years old. He turned 21 on February 24th. So he's got upside to grow and get bigger, and his frame is such that he can put on more weight and more strength. And so, as you can tell, excited about the player.
What were the conversations like with Vic Fangio in the pre-draft process about how he might fit in the defense and how that versatility might be able to be an asset for the defense?
Yeah, tremendous respect for Coach Fangio and the accomplishments he has and what he sees in defensive players. And so, I think for us, we're having those conversations with every member of our coaching staff and certainly our coordinators And obviously Vic, with the success that he's had, those conversations go deep. And so understanding that he's got a vision for the player, but we've seen what he can do with guys with this kind of skill set. And you just look around the league, you know, the teams that we have to get through to get where we want to go, they have fast, explosive quarterbacks, players in their backfield that we got to bring down at all levels of our defense. And we need a tremendous amount of front seven players to contain those guys. And so it's always been a priority, you know, for us. This doesn't deviate what we believe. You know, we believe in affecting the passing game on offense and defense, and this guy can affect the passing game on defense.
I mean, there's been guys here before, local guys from this area, who've struggled with kind of being a pro near home, just the demands on them, having their friends in the same town and stuff, and ticket requests and all that. Is that something that is I don't know, do you look into that at all? Is that something you kind of consider with a local kid?
Yeah, I rely on Dom. You know, I rely on Dom to get to know these kids, and he knows all these kids and the background that they come from. And, you know, I think that I don't know necessarily who you're talking about. You know, I could probably think of one that wasn't as high a pick, but I don't have any doubt about this player's character, this player's work ethic, this player's desire to win.
You mentioned Vic. How much has he expanded your view of what an off-ball linebacker could do in terms of value for a defense?
Yeah, I don't want to put this player in that box. That's what I'm saying. This guy can grow into anything you want. And what I'm saying is Vic has done a tremendous job with kind of educating me on the way that he looks at things and the way I look at things. And we have a lot of these conversations about it. And obviously, you know, those are great conversations. For me, I'm continuing to learn every day. That's the beautiful part about the job that we have. And but at the end of the day, like, you see it in what's going on in the league. And Zach Bond's a great example. I mean, these guys, they can rush from the edge. They can play in space. They can affect the quarterback from depth, from the edge. And that's what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for guys like that. And the league has changed, you know, and I think the league – it's a speed game, and when you have guys with those kind of explosive qualities, and you want to get as many as you can.
Does N'Kobe's injury timeline affect his projection at whatever position?
No, we have a lot of confidence in N'Kobe Dean, and this has nothing to do with N'Kobe. This had to do with the fact that we had a top 10 talent on our board, who we love the player and we love the versatility, and you know, for us, that was it. That was really it. You know, it wasn't about we start drafting for need or we start turning down top 10 players when we're picking in the 30s. It's not going to be good for our football team.
You mentioned how other teams, you thought that he may drop a little bit just based upon the injury concerns, and you trust your doctors. And what is it from your team's evaluations of him medically that you think that he's going to be?
Well, Jeff, when we do our medical meetings, we share medical grades with other teams. So, you know, obviously they all go to the combine. So I don't want it to be like we're the only team that had, you know, was confident with him medically. I'm not going to go into the medical stuff because I don't do that with any of our players. But I would say for us, we look at this as a long-term investment, and we think this guy's going to be playing a long time for the Philadelphia Eagles.
At press conference last week, you spoke about how player comps come up in those meetings. What player comps came up with Campbell?
Yeah, you know, again, you know.
They're trying to get you. Yeah. They're trying to get you.
Go ahead. You want to take it?
Well, no. You know, because it's funny because we were watching, like, on the NFL Network, and, like, the first few guys are, like, Hall of Famer comps, you know. And so it's like we're looking at that. We're going, whoa, those are big shoes to fill. So I think for us, like, those are conversations we have with our staff, and that puts Coach in a bad spot. So I'm stepping in front.
Are you sensing any reluctance from other general managers around the league to do deals with you, given your recent run of success and the draft and with trades?
I really wasn't. I didn't feel that way. You know, again, like, we're all in the business of making our teams better. And so I think that when we find opportunities to make our team better, we'll do the trade. When other teams find the opportunity to make their team better, they do the trade. You know, I think we just traded with the team we played in the Super Bowl. You know, we moved up one pick. And gave them some value. So I think at you know, all the conversations we're having, what happened in this draft was the trade started to pick up and the value of the trade started to pick up. So That always makes it different. Once one trade goes down, the market kind of changes. So you got to adjust with that, but feel fortunate that we got him.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, there was Howie Roseman and a little bit of Nick Sirianni last night talking about the pick of Jihad Campbell. Hugh, a couple things stood out to me. One, he did when asked and then came back to it a couple times about the injury and when will he get on the field. They said yeah. They're comfortable, but then he did mention, like, this is a long-term thing, right? Like,
they're looking at as a player, kind of like Nick Saban said, that's going to be in your system for a long time.
Right, which tells me they're not going to rush this, and if he's not ready in camp, you know, that's what they chose to do here. They didn't go for need. They went for the best potential player. The other thing is, you know, he volunteered something, right? He talked about his versatility, and then he mentioned Penn State has had two players that have played off the ball, but they turn into pass rushers. Obviously, he's referencing Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter. The more you listen to them, they obviously think he could become a premier pass rusher if they want him to be.
Yeah, that's what you're looking at him for. There's a lot that stuck out. You know, like I said, you heard the cut what he said. They compared him to some Hall of Fame players. But they said, hey, don't want to put that pressure on him.
I think Nick was about to say it, and I jumped in and
man,
was like,
I'm telling you,
let's just calm down here.
Because, and here's, because I feel like you need to add a little context to this and why I thought this way. When you look at most of the linebackers that have been drafted over the last couple of years, I was talking to Ike last night about Roquan Smith. Mm-hmm. His measurables are not the same as this guy's. Roquan's like, what, 6 foot? He's a good linebacker, serviceable linebacker, but he's more of a cover guy.
He's a run stopper, off the ball linebacker.
Yes.
He doesn't go after the quarterback,
yes.
Right, off the edge.
You have a guy who has pass rush skills, but has the ability to play any one of those linebacker positions. And I would venture to say, if you're able to do that, you're a pretty smart player.
Because
you have to know the different coverages and all this other stuff. So that's where the comparison comes from as far as the body type and the ability. And that's where I think Howie was talking about how the game has changed. Because the draft to me goes in kind of waves and it goes in body types. Just like, for example, there's not any fullbacks left in the NFL anymore because that body type is not in it. Like, you know, everybody's a smaller back. They're like the smaller backs. They're not the bigger, more physical backs.
And teams
anymore.
Like to spread it out rather than all bunch
yes,
it together.
Yes. And then when you look at the defensive linemen, there was a phase that when I got drafted, they were smaller and faster. It's starting to go back to the old way that it used to be. They're starting to get longer and leaner.
Yep.
And they're getting after the quarterback. Boy, you're talking about James Pierce, Mike Green, those guys, they all have the same body type. He's a throwback to what linebackers used to be.
But with the speed to do the other.
Yes.
You know what else I thought about listening to all that? Because he talked about how it's a speed game now, right?
Yes.
You know, they have a you always mention this. You draft your team to win your division, right?
Yes.
Who do they have to deal with for the next 10 years? Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
So if I'm going after Jaden Daniels, I want someone that could go get him as a pass rusher. But also, if my linebackers need to be able to run because that guy runs.
And not only that. What team gave us fits the year that we were trying to get in the playoffs and they came to town and beat the brakes off us? The San Francisco 49ers. And I can't think of his name right now, but who's the linebacker that they have that was all over the field crushing us?
Oh, Warner.
Yes. That's
well,
what
he contained Jalen.
Yes, that's the type of guy that you want. Even the linebacker from the Commodores, the middle guy jumping over the line all the time.
Luvu.
He's a bigger linebacker. So you're going to draft – you know, guys that, you know, that have that versatility, can play in space, but also, you know, they're protected and they have the speed, the fast flow speed, so that they can get to the quarterback if the fast quarterback takes off.
Yep. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. What do you think of the Eagles drafting Jihad Campbell? Like it, love it, don't like it. As you can imagine today, very few votes for don't like it. We're at 2% on that. Love it at 63%. like it at 35. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls here. A lot of people want to react, talk with us about this pick, what the Eagles did last night with Jahad Campbell. We'll also look ahead tonight, round 2 and 3. We'll run through some of the names still available and who we could see the Eagles add tonight and who we want the Eagles to add tonight. Maybe they stay at 64. Maybe they move up like they did in the second round last year. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon, not just any bacon. Let's talk about Hatfield bacon. From classic hardwood smoked to sweet maple brown sugar, even extra thick cut bacon and applewood smoked bacon. Every slice is packed with flavor. You can put it on your burger, level up your breakfast, or you can snack straight from the pan. No judgment on my end. Treat yourself. Grab some Hatfield bacon today and taste the difference. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board as we react to the Jahad Campbell pick at number 31 last night. We'll get to tonight, day two. And day two is a big one. I mean, you know, the Eagles have had great history in the second round. And look, we don't have to look any further than last year with the trade up for Cooper DeJean. So could be a big impact player tonight. Eagles slated to pick at 64 unless Howie moves up again. All right, we'll get to that, who we're looking at, and the storylines heading into round two. Your phone call as well, 215-592-9490 for this hour on 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance in your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Tree Card 94 only at Sunoco. Jay in Philly is up on WIP. Hey, Jay.
Yo, yo, what's going on, fellas? Happy
what's up,
Friday.
Jay?
Happy Friday, happy Friday, Jay. Jay, what do you think of the pick?
Hey, man, I love his potential, man. Look, man, you a dude from Jersey that made it to IMG, that made it to Alabama.
Yeah.
You a player.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. I used to always say, I had a friend of mine, Clay Caudill, he's from Mansfield, my hometown, had a chance to go to LSU and play tight end. And I told him, I said, listen, LSU don't need you, bro. If they come in Ohio, you can play.
You know what I mean?
Just like if they come into Jersey, you can play.
There's not many Timber Creek kids in Alabama. Yeah.
For real.
But look, I knew about the one shoulder. We all knew about that. When they said another shoulder and a knee surgery, I'm like, hey, man. It just made me nervous. So, you know, if he's healthy, man, he could be great. Look, you mentioned Lawrence Taylor. Hey, man, I take Seth Joyner best years, man, when Seth was here. If we get a linebacker playing like that, man, hey, man, we got something. So if he could give me Seth best year, because I feel like Zach Vaughn had the best linebacker year since Seth was in his prime. So if you give me two dudes that's replicating, that's giving me that production, oh, we got something. We got something right there.
Oh, for sure. And Jay, I mean, it's fair to bring up the injury stuff. It's fair to have a little concern about it. Now, these things, it feels like it's hit or miss. Like, I remember when Landon Dickerson came out, and he had all those knee injuries, and he just torn his ACL. I was concerned, like, that's a 330-pounder with bad knees, but he's been great so far. And then, obviously, we got the other side. You know, Sidney Jones was a disaster. So it's almost like you just got to cross your fingers and hope they can keep him healthy.
Look, I'm going to be optimistic because, man, hey, man, he's an Eagle, man, and a young fellow's from the area. And we know, man, if E-Max is out here, oh, my goodness, man. The linebacker core will be the best linebacker core that we've had to – what, since that Eagle team with Seth and William Thomas, Byron Evans. So, hey, man, it'll work in our favor, man, if we hit. I'm happy about that. I hope now we get some secondary help in the second round. If we can get a second safety or corner, man, then I'll be extremely happy with this draft.
And I think that's what they need. To me, Jay, and good phone call, they need that and another defensive, like,
piece.
Linebacker. Like, when I think of, because it's thin there. Like, you have Carter, you have Ojomo, you have Jordan Davis. It feels to me like they're just missing a body up front.
Yeah. Now, you can add some more pieces.
Yeah. That to me, that, and then the secondary spot, whether it be safety or, and Ike last night was on, you know, bringing up a lot the corner situation. Do you need another corner? That feels like where they could go next. But as far as just his potential, It is pretty amazing here, Hugh, just in a year, how they've turned two positions they never seem to take seriously, running back and linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at all the resources they've poured in the last 2 years to those positions. They signed Saquon originally, has the great year. They give him more money. They have the big year out of Bond. They pay him. and now they spent a first-round pick on a linebacker. It's like, I never thought the Eagles would do this, and now we're here.
Yeah, I mean, but I think, to your point, Joe, it's out of necessity. Because you're talking about Jaden Daniels down there in, with the Commodores.
Yep, who's a real problem.
And he's, his ability to make plays outside the pocket, and just the NFL in a as a whole, it looks like it's starting to skew. We had two running backs going the first round yesterday. It's starting to skew towards, you know, ball control offenses and, you know, trying to get that athletic quarterback. We were just talking in the break about the Jets and the players that they have and what they went and got. They got an offensive lineman with the first pick. Shorter guy, mm-hmm. but he's a pretty good run blocker.
They're going to run a lot.
And they got the two running backs that they have up there.
And Fields is their quarterback.
Yeah, and yeah. So you have – you're going to try to play ball control offense, and they got a good defense. So you're going to try to win that way. And a lot of teams now that are late to the party, another team, San Diego Chargers. Well, the L.A. Chargers.
Yep.
They're going to run the football.
Wow, that's Harbaugh football. Yeah.
And when you look at the teams in the division that you're going to play against, they haven't gotten the memo yet. So they're going to be behind eight ball. So it's a good chance that the Chargers, well, you know, the Chargers, what they did last year, the Jets might have a pretty good season with all those people that they have up there now.
Did you ever think you'd see the day, Kyle, where the Eagles put this many resources in running back and linebacker?
Things have changed.
And how he's evolved. It's
wild. It honestly, it's not that surprising. Like, Jim Schwartz was a guy that was very much a trenches guy, mm-hmm. built along the defensive line. Now you have Vic Fangio, and he puts a lot of emphasis on the linebacker. So it'd kind of be stupid for them to not.
Yeah, and I think Howie's greatest trait is to kind of be ahead of the thing instead of being behind the thing, the curve, you know, the next trend in the NFL. So I just think as the league caught up to what they were doing, it had to be natural that he went a different way, and they won a Super Bowl doing it last year, and they should be really good doing it more moving forward. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
All right, good morning. Good morning, General Kyle, Joe, Hugh, and the crew. How's everybody doing on this fine Friday?
I'm a little sleepy.
Yeah, a little bit. We're getting by on caffeine here and adrenaline, Bruce, because they got a linebacker that could go after the quarterback.
We might
have been wrong on when Hugh was going to fall asleep. Maybe not the draft show. It might have been
the Friday show.
Yeah, we might lose him around 1 o'clock.
I lost my contact. Hey, so I can't see out of one eye. Yeah, it broke. I can't see out of one eye.
Mess.
Broke.
Now, remember, you're on YouTube, so, you know.
That's why I said it, because I know somebody probably saw me rubbing my eye trying to get the contact.
When you put your head down on the table here, they might have thought you fell asleep.
No, I was trying to was trying to see what's wrong with the contact. It's broke. I broke it, so I'm blind in one eye right now.
Oh, man, that's not good.
I got to drive. When I go home, I got to drive like this. Looking like Papa.
Oh, boy, but. No, but getting on to the – oh, my goodness, man. I just could not be so happy with how it played out. And I thought it was interesting. I don't know. You know, I think that from some of these other GMs, it's almost there might be some level of hate with Howie. I hope that doesn't play out today because nobody was willing to do any deals with him to move up, which is interesting because Minnesota, they need draft picks. There's a couple of other teams that need draft picks. So I think on the second round, he's going to be able to find somebody that's he's definitely going to move up. But I mean, it was a great pickup. It was a position of need. People are fussing, and you know, I go on some of these work football groups about the injuries. And I tell people, look, calm down. You know, we're going to be okay. He's going to be ready and ready to go. And man, I tell you, the front seven is just going to be awesome. I think, you know, with this going on and looking forward, I think the next pick is going to probably be a DL or a safety for their first pick, depending. Because this second round and the third round is pretty stacked with some really good talent.
It is. So, yeah. And, every year you kind of – this happens. But I was struck this morning looking at it, Bruce, to the best available. And a lot of those guys we talked about as round one players. So, you know, we'll see if they might trade. I mean, last year they traded up pretty far to get Cooper. So it wouldn't shock me if they make a move up tonight.
Yeah, no, and that's what I'm going to look for. But if you really think about it for this second round – he might not have to do that much, depending on who falls off on the board in the second round. So, I'm definitely excited about where we're going. I think maybe he, you know, after DL, depending on the safety or whatever, it's going to be. I mean, my pick DL, safety, and defensive. No, I said D, no, not DL. Yeah, DL, safety, and a tight end. It's going to be an exciting night.
Oh, it sure is. I like the old way when they did it on the Saturday, but it is fun that we get like a whole new thing tonight. And the second round has been very good to the Eagles. Bruce, appreciate it. I mean, the Eagles have drafted a lot of their best players over the years in the second round. All right, Hugh, let's look at tonight. Best available players. What do you think of tonight? So, you know, we talked about edge rusher. They drafted a linebacker. He may have checked the box. Like, they may feel like they got their edge rusher. So that means they could get another one, or they could go somewhere else tonight.
You know what's funny, Joe? I was just trying to figure that out because I primarily have been looking at the edge rushers because that's what we kind of talked about for the last couple of weeks. Mike Green is still there. Donovan Ezeraku is there. Oluwafemi Oladejo is still there. That's the name that we heard. That
UCLA.
Was
UCLA. Yes.
I think you nailed that.
Yeah, I did it last night. I guess I was a little tired. I couldn't do it last night. I butchered that thing.
And the MB Wiggity.
So there's a couple guys. Jordan Birch. These are the ones that are projected to be, you know, the top overall prospects. But Mike Green is that guy. Don't know if they're probably going to go that route. Looking at the D tackles, Darius Alexander.
Toledo.
Yeah, he's the number one guy. You got Shamir Turner, whatever you want to say at Texas A&M.
TJ Sand, the South Carolina kid from Sanders.
Yeah, you got one Omar Lott from Tennessee. So you still have some guys on the list that you could get. It just all depends on if they want to go edge, if they feel like they have enough at the edge, or they want to go get one of those interior guys.
All right, let me ask you this: what do you think happens tonight with Shedeur Sanders? Because that was one of the stories of the draft last night. Cameras on him the whole time. We were doing our show, so I didn't hear it, but I did see that Mel Kiper was apparently flipping out that no one was taking Shedeur Sanders. He's going to be the story again tonight. So, to me, tonight the stories are going to be Sanders and Jalen Milroe. They're the highest profile. They're quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. And they're high profile quarterbacks. Where do they go tonight?
That's a tough question, Joe, because we were talking about it in the break room, and to your point, if he doesn't go to Cleveland, he's not going to start. Like, we were trying to figure out the percentages of him having an actual chance to start. I myself don't think it's very high. I think that there's a possibility that unfortunately for him, that if he goes as a backup, it's more of a distraction than it is an asset. I think there's a lot at play here. I mean, and it's unfortunate for him, but there's a lot at play here, and I don't know. I think he does get drafted, but I don't think he's going to be in a position to actually have an opportunity to be a starter for a football team this year.
What if you had to put a position you have your eye most on tonight? Is it edge or is it tight end with Mason Taylor? Because we know the story there.
Well, I mean, listen, I've been sitting here today trying to figure out this tweet that I was going to sit with this DM.
Yeah.
I was going to slide in the DM.
I might want to keep that private. Yeah.
Well, I was just trying to figure out.
Get everyone chiming in on your tweet.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me. Okay, you're right. Yeah. I probably gave too much information.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep it to football. And slather Vaseline on me. I think I'm kind of on the defensive side of things.
Wow,
I
know we need welcome a tight
end.
Back.
I know we need a tight end. But the two best tight ends
welcome back.
Were taken last night. I don't know. See, this is what makes this intriguing. You got the linebacker with the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
You got a pretty significant pick. What is it, the 64th?
64th.
I mean, so you're drafting pretty early. I'm kind of torn on this. I mean, from my personal wants and what I want for my football team.
You want Mason Taylor here.
I mean, that would be nice, but I'm
very selfish.
I know. It's
but I'm saying I'm
Eagles
thinking,
Hall of Famer thinking about himself over the
no,
Eagles.
No, listen.
Stop.
That's why I'm sitting here and what I'm asking myself, what do I want the most? I think I want the D tackle, man.
Wow.
I think I want the D tackle.
Shocked.
Put my personal, you know, agenda aside. I wouldn't mind. You know, where the Super Bowl at again in California, even though ain't nothing to do up there?
Santa Clara, yeah.
Yeah, there you go, Kyle. I want to do that.
Now you're starting to think.
I
want to
fall asleep
right.
In California. Maybe get a cut. Maybe. He's I bet they got the buses. If we drive, we're not hitting buses.
Buses.
They call it, I've been seeing this comedian call it buses.
Buses.
Buses, and he says it with a, like a list.
Gotcha.
Buses. I like that name better.
I'm looking at safety tonight. I think they could certainly use an upgrade there.
You think the second pick, though?
Yeah, why not?
I'm just wondering. Yeah.
I mean, look, Eamon Worry's still there, the kid out of South Carolina. There's one from Penn State they brought in for, I think, a top 30 visit. Kid from Notre Dame. There's some good safeties. I mean, that's one position I'm not fully comfortable with just Sidney Brown back there. So safety. And then, again, Ike brought it up a lot last night during our draft show. Corner is a spot that, depending on what you think about Keeley or Dory Jackson, they still might need a guy there. So I'm still in on defense. I mean, look, I made it clear if Jalen Milroe is there, I don't think he's going to be. I would pull the trigger on that as the development quarterback, but I'm in on defense. Kyle, what do you want tonight?
Yeah, I don't think this would be a bad spot to go with a corner here. I mean, they obviously have the need with Darius Slay and Isaiah Rodgers gone. I'm not sure if I trust Keeley Ringo and Adoree Jackson to step up in that role. I mean, this is the day where they can sort of get creative and I think really start plugging some of those needs. Like, I would be in on going with Mason Taylor at this point. I think that's better than taking him at 32 or, you know, with your best asset in the draft. And, I mean, there's a lot of, I think, decent corners out there. There's the Will Johnson kid.
Yep.
And then there's the safety, the Penn State kid, Kevin Winston.
Yes.
So, like, I mean, there's a lot of different ways they can go with this pick.
Well, and also, tonight's a night, I think, Howie could really move around. He traded way up to get Cooper last year. And this is the part, because they have, what, 12 picks in next year's draft? This is where they could cash one of those in to move way up in the second round. Like, I think a team would do that. Like, if the Eagles are willing to give one of their compensation thirds next year, and they want to go from 64, you know, to 40-something, that might work. Or, you know, to go from 96 up to the beginning of the third round, they might be able to package something to get who they really want to get tonight. 215-592-9494. Rob in Delco talking about the pick last night. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Hugh. Good morning, Kyle.
What's going on?
Hey,
man.
Rob. What's up, buddy?
Listen, I got a couple quick things I was a little upset with about the draft, and then I'm going to end on a high note, okay? Hugh, I said it's tongue-in-cheek, okay? Now you gave the little illustration. I know you're saying this guy had, like, traits of, like, Lawrence Taylor, but is not Lawrence Taylor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like with Joe. I got a perfect example for you, Joe. If it wasn't for, like, the sex appeal and the good looks, you remind me of Bradley Cooper, Joe.
I'm just missing those two things. That's it. Almost there.
Just missing those two things.
Yeah, almost there.
You know what I mean? The sex appeal and the good looks, you kind of remind me of, I'm just joking here. You know what I mean, Joe?
Yeah,
get that sometime.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Listen, but I get where you're going.
Yeah, you get it. I'm just kidding. First thing is, I was a little upset. I realized the Phillies were on today. Is that terrible, Joe? That's where I'm at with the Phillies. But I heard they were on today because I'm looking forward to the draft again.
Well,
oh, man.
Rob, here's a couple things on that. Yeah, the game will be on at 2:20 today in Chicago against the Cubs. Here's the good news. I'll start with the good news. The game will be over, so you can move on to the draft tonight. Whatever happens, you can just put it aside, and we get round two and three. The bad news, though, Rob, is the Cubs are leading baseball in runs scored per game, and we're throwing Taiwan out there. So, might not go great.
Something's got to give, right, Joe? Taiwan pitches his butt off, or he gets lit up like a Christmas tree.
We will ask Hugh later on to predict Taiwan's stat line against the number one offense in baseball, because this is going to be a challenge for Mr. Walker today. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, okay. Here's my two things, Hugh, with the draft. One is, Hugh, we're around the same age. I'm about to be 52 in June. Can they do two things for me with the draft?
What's that?
One, can they start at 7 instead of 8? And can they make it 8 minutes instead of 10? Like, that would shave off just about an hour, Joe, just 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Because if there's, what, 32 teams, that's an hour and, what, 4 minutes? You know what I mean? Just by 2 minutes from 10 to 8. And so, because I dozed off at, like, pick 19, you pick 20. And thank God I woke up at, like, pick 26, 27, right before we picked, because if I'd have wasted that whole time and then missed our pick, I'd have been pissed. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I mean, listen, Rob, you're washed. Oh. Hugh's washed. I'm washed. It's late. I mean, I get it. That pick came in late last night. I mean,
it just drags on.
Yeah. I got you.
A little bit early, maybe a half hour, maybe trim a minute, 2 minutes off, and it would be over 10:30 instead of like 11:30, quarter to 12, whatever it was. But, you know, that was my one thing. And the other thing is, listen, I'm old Joe. Pick number two tonight, I want to do something unconventional. You know what I mean? We did it with picking a linebacker for the first time in the first round since they said, what, 79? So, this Joe, I already got the nickname for him. Melrose Place. Jordan Melrose. You know what I mean? Like the show Melrose.
We have him in the show. Melrose. Listen, if he's there, I would take him. The comparisons and the similarities to Jalen are too much for me to pass up. Jalen, you're out on Jalen
at 64?
Yeah, 64. Second round.
No.
You're out now?
No, I mean, not that six. I'm all hyped for the defense now. I want to see what this is going to turn into.
Who is this guy? This is who we thought we were getting on this show. You were gone for years,
sleep,
and now
lack
you're back.
Of sleep deprivation and all that good stuff.
Now you're back to being a defensive guy.
Evergreen, Joe.
Mean and surly.
Like I like that Mike Green. If he's, you know, I would take either one of those guys. But hey, man, that's an important position if a guy misses three, four games.
Of course
a year.
It is. I mean, again, that it's a huge position. Yeah, it's huge in Eagles history. There's no question about it. I would guess that Jalen Milroe is not going to be there, so the dream will die for me to get him in here as the backup quarterback.
Yeah,
if
Jalen goes before Shadur, that's probably telling. That's telling.
Well, the Browns control it. The Browns have two of the first four picks tonight. They could get whatever one they want, basically.
Yeah.
They have the first pick tonight, the Browns. So if they want one of those two quarterbacks, they're going to take him. All right, let's go to Cowboy Jim, whose team took a guard last night. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Yeah, could I break up this love fest of a dude that no one talked about, no one heard of? Now he's the second coming of Micah Parsons. I mean, come on. What do you think Nick Saban's going to say? Yeah, I recruited him. Yeah, he's okay.
No one heard of him? He was one of the best players in college football.
No one talked about him for two months.
He was in every first-round mock draft for 2 months.
Oh, come on. If he was such this great, this Micah Parsons, you'd be like, I'll take him over Milroe's. Come on.
Well, Milroe is a second-round pick, so yeah, I would take him.
This is what I call 2 months of not even close speculation.
Your team took a guard at 12.
You have got to be smoking something.
Thank goodness. You all think it's a wide receiver. That's a Lululemon pick, okay? That's what that is. That's just like all, you know, shiny and bright. Okay, that's fine. We'll find another wide receiver. We need a guard. Look at our front five. We're great now.
Our smart team would have traded it down and taken the guard at 20. I mean, they took a guard at 12.
I'm fine with this guard right now. Alabama, I'm
kind of like a Robert Gallery pick. Remember that when the Raiders took him?
Oh, yeah. He was not good. He was not good.
It was a common sense pick. Mm. So let's just
The Cowboys and common sense typically go together. Sense, yeah.
Well, we lost two Hall of Fame linemen last year. We have to do the common sense. We need that. What do you think?
It's fine. I mean, he'll probably be pretty good, but it's a guard. Who cares, honestly?
And as for the Phillies, this power ranking of number 8, listen, they have no power.
Who said that? Who said number 8?
What are you talking about?
What power ranking?
ESPN has them at power ranking at number 8.
Obviously, whoever wrote that list hasn't watched them play in 3 weeks. I mean, because they're not the 8th best.
There's two things receding in this world. Kyle's hair and the Phillies. So I'll talk to you later.
Nah, it's enough, Jim.
Wait a minute, Kyle. No, I didn't mean to laugh. I just thought it was funny. Kyle gave me a dirty look.
Well, that wasn't one of his worst ones.
I just thought it was funny.
Kind of got me.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, Jim's team took a guard at 12 last night. Cowboys. Yeah,
it's not receding, by the way. It's receded. I mean, been that way for a long time. Well, I mean, boys had a big forehead.
Oh, yeah, it belongs to growing at the top. Like, look, you just don't want the cul-de-sac. You don't want this back here.
Yeah.
As long as you ain't got this back here, you could probably work
Once
with
that
the
starts
receiver.
Coming, yeah, I'm yeah. coming on home.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, comparatively, you have clearly the best head of hair on this
that's
show.
That's very true, but that's a very low bar.
Well, all you have to do is clear whatever bar you create each day. You create your own bars around here. All right, Mark in Delaware. What's up, Mark?
Yo, guys.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
Let me take you off speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I'm getting ready to cook bacon, so.
Oh.
I feel attacked.
Like someone I know.
No, it's all good. So, Joe, I think I heard Hughes say, like, something good on defense.
I know. Could you believe it? I mean, he really is sleep deprived.
Listen, I am not sleep deprived. I'm practical. Y'all just
Since
not practical.
When?
You see, no, y'all dug into your takes.
About?
I am very practical. Mm. And I'm a forward thinker. I mean, I would like to get more defensive player. Because, see, this is the thing y'all don't understand. Since y'all want to paint me into this corner.
We do.
That I'm not a defensive guy.
You're not.
It still plays into my narrative. Cheaper, younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to get that.
You've set it up that no matter what, your narrative works.
Yes. The line has moved so
If they take offense,
far.
You see, I told you
it's
so. If they take defense, they're cheap.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's
ridiculous.
The narrative is... In order to have a successful team, you pay most of your offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
And you go cheaper on the defensive side of the ball, which the Eagles have done. Because this is what y'all fail to realize. They let guys go so that they can get cheaper on the defensive side of the ball. So, yeah, my narrative is still sound.
I mean, they did use their best asset this offseason on a defensive player.
And he's going to be cheaper for at least 4 years. At least four.
Yeah, but you know, eventually they're gonna have to make a decision on all these young defensive stars.
It's all cyclical. It's gonna come back.
See, that day's gonna change.
Yeah, but not right now. Okay. Not while I'm riding this wave that I'm on, baby.
You're just gonna keep riding the wave. Mark, we appreciate the phone. I don't even know if we got Mark's take.
Did we get his take?
I know, I appreciate I apologize.
He was cooking bacon.
I know.
And we just
Mark, that's on me. It's on Hugh. He went off on a tangent. All right, 215-592-9494. Don't forget, we're gonna honor Brandon Graham's legendary career all day on air, and the celebration continues that night with BG Live at Colonial Theater, at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. Special live event features Brandon on stage with Joe DeCamera as BG shares unforgettable stories and the never-before-heard behind-the-scenes stuff that made his incredible career. Tickets available now, 94WIP.com. That's coming up on May 5th, which some of us on this show know as Cinco de Mayo.
All right. Two of us on the show
know. Two of us, the three. Some people think it's the day after Cinco de Mayo, but it's okay. It's just okay. A day.
It's Friday.
It's no big deal. No, I don't think that was a Friday when we did that, but that doesn't matter. 215-592-9494.
It's not new days.
No, that doesn't make any difference. Okay, your phone call is coming up. We do have a prize to give away in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll tell you about that. We're going to have Scott Fransky hop on live from Chicago as they get ready for the game out at Wrigley today. Maybe Scott can make us feel better about the Phillies, because we've been down in the dumps about that team after the sweep.
Tall order.
Yeah, it is. We'll see if Scott is up for it, talking to Phillies. And right back to your phone calls, your take on the Jahad Campbell pick. Like it, love it, or do you not like it? Where do you come down? 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio, 94WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sports, because the official partner of 94 WIP.